There are any further nominations, then we will go into a vote. But in the absence of that, the member that was nominated will then come forward to take to chair the meeting. Thank you, honourable members. I now proceed to call for nominations.
I recognise honourable Matshoba.
Good morning. My name is Mandisa Matshoba. I'm a member of this committee. I nominate the name of honourable Mr. Tsele as the chair of the day.
Thank you, Honourable Matshoba. I recognize Honourable Kongobele.
Mwanzi Kongobele, member of the committee, second nomination.
Thank you, Honourable Kongobele. I'll proceed to call for further nominations, if there are any. Honourable members, thank you very much. I will now call on Mr. Tsedi to come forward and chair the meeting.
Van Dam, member of the committee.
Well, thank you. William Adisha, member of the committee. Thank you.
Mandy Samachoma, member of the committee.
Maybe let's continue with the introductions, especially from if there are colleagues from the ministry who as well appreciate, from ICAV as well, will appreciate to know it.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Nomvuyiso Sopati from ICASA.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Phakamile Phongwana from ICASA.
Good morning. My name is Freddy Mamoremi from DOC.
Thanks very much, colleagues, members of the public who are here. Colleagues from ICASA, and all the people who are showing interest, as I've indicated, in the work that we are doing. You are warmly welcome to this very important meeting. We are supposed to receive a presentation from ICASA, and we will then proceed with the minutes and the adoption of the program for the day. But before that, we would appreciate if we, for record purposes, the secretary can just take us through in terms of the apologies that we received for this meeting.
Thank you, Secretary. The committee has received the following apologies from Ms. Veronica Van Dijk of the Democratic Alliance, who is currently on sick leave. We have received an apology from the chairperson, as I indicated earlier, who is attending to other work commitments. We have received an apology from Ms. Nivo Drashen. She is attending Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration. We have received an apology from Ms. N. Tolashe, who has got a doctor's appointment for the day. We received an apology from Mr. Kalako, who is also attending to other work commitments. We've also received an apology from the Minister of Communications, who's attending a Limpopo local government summit, and the Director General, Mr. Munzelele, who's also attending to prior commitments. And lastly, we've got an apology from the Acting Chairperson of ICASA, who's having meetings with other stakeholders today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much. As I've indicated earlier, we will receive the presentation from ICASA, engage with the presentation, we'll then release colleagues from ICASA, and then remain as members of the portfolio committee to process the minutes and other matters that we need to attend to as soon as they're planned. I hope ICASA is ready to take us through the presentation.
Chair, thank you. At this point, the presentation is going to be beamed up on the screen. And I believe that members have hard copies data. As I already introduced myself, my name is Nomvu Itobati. I'm known to Robert Mutaloha. I am a councillor at ICASA. The slide is set out into that outline of six items. However, after the six items, you will see at the end, we have attached a list of things that have since happened from the SABC regulation compliance and monitoring team. On the legislative overview, we have the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, which requires that a national legislation should be established, that an independent authority must regulate broadcasting in the public interest and to ensure fairness and the diversity of views broadly representing South African society. Further, we are governed by the Electronic Communications Act of 2005, which actually directs Section 2S, Roman Figure 2, which directs ICASA to ensure that broadcasting services provide for regular news service actuality programs on matters of public interest, programs on political matters on public interest, programs on matters of international, national, and regional, and local significance. We also have the Broadcasting Act of 1999, Chapter 4 thereof, which sets out the charter of the public broadcasting services and require that the SABC programming content must reflect the attitudes, opinions, ideas, values, and artistic creativity, advances the national and public interest, promotes the rights of all South Africans to receive and impart information and ideas, provide for a wide range of audience interests, beliefs, and perspectives, reflect a high standard of accuracy, fairness, impartiality in news that deal with matters of public interest. What is of importance, Chair, you will note that the mandate of the SABC is surrounding what we name as the public interest, which has been defined even in case law. I'm not going to bore with the details. We move into the universal service mandate of the SABC, wherein, as a public broadcasting service, it has universal service obligations, which actually include a coverage of 100% of the population of the Republic, an obligation to cater for all South African languages, particularly marginalized languages, through its national and regional licenses. Further, it has an obligation to cater for minority groups, children, women, and people with disabilities. ICASA, on the other hand, is obliged to monitor and enforce compliance by the SABC with the charter of the corporation. This is contained in Section 6.2 of the Broadcasting Act, and we are obliged, amongst others, to contribute to democracy, development of society and nation building, safeguard, enrich, and strengthen the cultural, political, social, and economic fabric of South Africa, ensure plurality of views and information, and provide a wide range of entertainment education programs. The license terms and conditions of SABC, almost everyone's license in the broadcasting sector has these five elements: well, programming obligations, financial obligations, human resource obligations, training and employment equity obligations, including complaints handling obligations. For purposes of today, we are looking at complaints handling and programming obligations in the main. We have in front of us the SABC TV license conditions on programming obligations. What is on SABC 1, SABC 2, and SABC 3. You will see we have used as a starting item, wherein on a 7-hour week, 3 hours, 30 minutes in prime time packages, single program daily. That is on SABC 1 and 2. That thing is the same. On current affairs, you will note that SABC 1 and 2 have the same obligation of on a 5-hour week, they have 2 hours in prime time. Whereas SABC 3, they only has 1 hour. And then this, we have what we call information knowledge and building. On the SABC 1 has on a 16-hour week, 2 hours in prime time. And then SABC 2, 18-hour week, 2 hours in prime time. And then SABC 3, as you can see, it goes further down. It's on a 12-hour, 2 hours in prime time. We have documentary. We actually, SABC 1 has 2 hours in prime time on a four hour week, and you have seen with SABC 2 is 2 hours in prime time within that week, and then the same with SABC 3. And then you have drama. This is one of the most contested terrains in our space, wherein within an 8-hour prime time, South African prime time is defined on SABC 1. SABC 1 and SABC 2 and SABC 3 have a very stringent obligation as to what they must publish, they must show as drama. The same with the children's programming. The children's programming, as they have 20 hours on a week, and then the same 15 hours on SABC 2 and 12 hours on SABC 3. Then we have educational programs. Educational programs is as stated over there that SABC 3 is the only TV station that does not have educational programming as part of its obligation, not that they don't show it. Then on the overall SABC TV programming, we have what we call the overall local content percentages that we measure annually as the current regulations. The regulations that we have are the regulations of 2006. On those regulations, we actually set out the programming as you see down as listed as 35 for drama, children's programming, documentary, informal knowledge, current affairs, and educational programming. But as of last year, March 2016, we are giving people time to ensure that when March 2018 comes into effect, people increase gradually their local content obligation in line with this type of programming that we've listed down there. And then what people always ask us, what methodology do we use to measure local content on TV? We are actually guided by Section 61(2) of the Electronic Communications Act of 2005. It states that local television content means a television program excluding transmission of sporting events and compilation thereof, advertisement, teletext, and continuity announcement. And then it says further that in measuring compliance with the local content quotas for TV services and compliance with the provisions of Section 61.2A, the authority's methodology is premised on actual program time as opposed to actual program length. So this, in a nutshell, it means what we do, once the program will say it's for 30 minutes, then it includes adverts and information. We don't count the adverts, we don't count the information or announcement. We only count the actual program itself. Then we go as to why we're here today. We're here today on the complaint that was lodged with ICASA in June 2016. So as a background, as might be known, is that sometime in May, on the 26th of May last year, SABC issued a media statement indicating that it will no longer broadcast footage of destruction of public property during protests. The SABC believed at the time that the broadcast of destruction of property constituted an act of encouragement by the public broadcaster, and continuing to broadcast such footage of destruction of destruction might encourage other communities to do the same. And then in June, our complaints and compliance committees, we heard the complaint lodged by the complainants, which is Media Monitoring Project Benefit Trust, the SOS Support Public Broadcasting Coalition, Freedom of Expression Institute. And just on the 3rd of July, had its finding regarding the complaint against the SABC. Then on the 11th of July, in line with our legislation, ICASA issued a media statement endorsing the recommendations of the CCC. The recommendations of the CCC and the ICASA decision is next. So there are essentially three decisions. We count them as three. Decision A directs the SABC to withdraw its resolution as published in its statement of 26 May 2016, which states that the SABC no longer broadcast the footage of destruction of public property during protest. Decision B, the withdrawal must be done retrospectively from the date when the resolution was taken, or that is on 26 May 2016. Decision C, the chairperson of the board of the SABC must confirm in writing to the Council of ICASA via the Office of the Coordinator of the CCC within 7 calendar days from the date on which the order is served, that the resolution as endorsed by Council of the Authority was taken as ordered by the SABC. So what has happened since then? On 20 July 2016, the SABC confirmed to the authority that it has considered the authority's decision and it would abide by it. And because this is a monitoring and compliance exercise, ICASA had to be engaged in various written communications with the SABC to ask where is the public withdrawal of the May 2016 resolution, and also the proof that the resolution has indeed been withdrawn in line with decision C that I stated earlier. Then we were surprised to learn that the SABC advised the authority that it had never kept any material or footage. What surprised the authority is that at that point, this was never brought before the CCC as a defense, because you have to defend yourself before the CCC. So to date, as the authority, we have never received any proof of the withdrawal of the 2016 resolution in line with decision C. Besides that, the authority has been informed as above that SABC has never implemented that decision. Then the authority took measures into place as to what it can do to move forward. We communicated with the attorneys of the SABC, eight employees of the SABC, on the matter against the SABC because it was similar to the, maybe we missed something because SABC is coming to a defense post the ruling of the ICASA. So the SABC attorneys have responded, the SABC 8 attorneys responded to advise, to inform the authority that none of the SABC employees received any formal notification that the protest policy has been withdrawn, and that a culture of censorship and fear continues in the SABC newsroom. Also, we actually went back to SOS, Freedom of Expression, Media Monitoring Africa, and requesting that maybe they, if there is any information of on a continued encroachment or non-compliance by the SABC. On the 1st of December 2016, the MMA submitted to ICASA an allegation that SABC has not complied with the authority's protest order. The authority has since been considering this report in line of its bigger monitoring plan. So, as the authority, we have been engaged with the SABC on we've written a number of letters of demand to, in order to get them to demonstrate that they have complied with the order and that they have since made a board resolution. You recall, Chair, at the time there was still a board, and that has never been furnished to the authority, that is decision C. So we fast forward then, what are the remedies available to ICASA when a licensee is non-compliant with its order, wherein it comes from the Compliance and Compliance Committee? We have a number of options. One is that we can pursue criminal charges against the SABC, which we have. So we had, as of last year, in November, lodged a criminal case against the SABC on November 28th, and it was opened at Bramley Station with that case number, and we received a notification from Bramley Police Station that the docket has been transferred to the Brixton Police Station with that case number as in there. And then as of last, I think 2 weeks back, we made follow-ups as to what is the status of the investigation because we have an investigator assigned, and then we were advised that the matter now is with the Hawks. We are yet to be finished with the case number there. So, Chair, that is what has happened. So after 10, you will note, Chair, on Appendix A, Appendix A, we have a list of complaints against the SABC during what happened during the election period. Those are the complaints that we had that were picked up by our internal monitoring team. Of all those allegations, why we listed them, which is an irony for us, is that SABC has been compliant. I'll make an example of all this. The nature of the complaints is that SABC bought a system that was centralized. And this system would tell regional radio stations such as your Radio Sonder Grenze, Likwala Kwala, Metro FM, Ukhozi FM, at what time to play which adverts in line with the ICASA schedule of either be it the political election broadcast or be it a political advert. However, there were mistakes that were made in flighting these programs or these adverts by the SABC. And in all these instances that we've listed here, SABC came before the CCC, they came, they considered, they said, yes, we made a mistake, it was an error on our part, we are welcome, we're going to pay the fine, we take the admission of guilt. So, Chair, you have an SABC on the one hand that does not want to adhere to the order of the CCC insofar as the ruling on the banning of the protest. And then you have an SABC that is compliant with the same regulator when it comes to other non-compliance matters that has been before the authority. So we're just tabling this so that you know that there are these two dynamics that you have we have as authority. And thank you, Chair. I'm not going to go through all the complaints because we are going to table before this committee an election monitoring report, because it does not only talk about the SABC. There are other licenses that participated in the during the election period. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Ikasa, for the presentation. Members, we did receive the presentation. Now is the time for members to engage with the presentation. She has raised quite a number of issues that members might want to be clarified on, and as well engage and anything that members would want to raise as it relates to the presentation. Now is your turn. I see Honorable Mubel already. His hand is up. I see Honorable Van Damme. Yeah, we'll proceed in that order.
Thank you, Chair. One must acknowledge the elaborate presentation. I wish, looking at the background of historic concerns around the ability of ICASA to effectively execute their mandate in line with the act as articulated in the public interest sort of provisions they have articulated themselves there. I wish ICASA can honestly say, do they think they are able to execute this mandate? Because I'm just looking at the SAPC example. This thing happened a long time ago. Now ICASA has gone to police station. Hawks investigating. You don't know when Hawks is going to finish.
What?
The way, Chair, ICASA looks to me, their status is equal to that of an ordinary citizen. Because the factors they depend on to execute their mandate are generally equal to that of an ordinary citizen. Go to police station, complain about that, and so on. Usually, when you're a regulatory institution, within reasonable time, when the regulatory imperatives that you set are not aligned, you must be able to act in a manner that has a bearing on those over whom you are regulating. A lot of things have been raised. I think ICASA must just be open with the portfolio committee. Have been raised around how autonomous are they as a structure to execute their mandate. Do they think legally they are empowered to execute their mandate? Because this mandate is a South African mandate in the interest of South Africans. SABC alone, all what it demonstrates is that there is a serious problem. Can you imagine if similar institutions would actually conduct themselves in the manner SABC is conducting itself? How many of these things ICASA would have sent to how many police stations? And at that point in time, the purpose of the mandate, to which extent is it being served? All what I'm saying is that I'm no longer just speaking just about SAPC. SAPC to me is a mere example. What I think we need to discuss, can ICASA honestly tell us that? Are they able to execute this mandate independently in line with the legal provision, the constitutional provision?
Honorable Van Damme.
Thanks, Honorable.
Honourable Chair. Notwithstanding the points raised by Honourable Gungubele, which are very important and very valid, and I'm also looking forward to ICASA's answer because it's a very important question. We need an ICASA with teeth in order to properly oversee the sector it's supposed to oversee. But I must say again, for the second time, congratulate ICASA for showing that those teeth. ICASA over the last couple of years has not been as firm as it should be. So I must say that it's really commendable that they've taken the step to go lay charges. But I look forward to the answer to Honourable Gungubele's question. And then on a not entirely different topic, over the last couple of months, there's been issues discussed in South Africa about fake news and propaganda campaigns in the media space. I mean, it's largely kind of been carried out in print media, but it's also kind of also in broadcast media. So I would like to suggest that ICASA conduct an inquiry into this phenomenon, particularly in broadcasters, and then table a report to Parliament detailing their findings on the proliferation of fake news in the broadcast space. I think it's quite important. And then another question. I see you haven't listed your investigation or your hearing on ETV's application to can news at prime time. Why hasn't that been listed? Is that still going on? Thank you.
Yeah, Honourable West, you can.
I forgot another point, which this was my first point, but I got frustrated as I'm listening to the tortuous path that the ICASA is trying to walk to execute the mandate, and then that got overwhelmed by that frustration. I'm curious to find out, Chair, do you have a score sheet for the performance of SABC in line with these laws? So that at any I'm talking about the proactive execution of the mandate, because when you have a mandate, there is a reactive and a proactive execution. But the proactive execution is going to be key in giving us the scale of the problem. Because if you tell us this year, or in the past 6 months, SABC's imperatives, the regulatory imperatives detected this has been a performance of SABC in line with various, so that we can be able to say from a proactive point of view, to have a sense of the scale of the problem that we're dealing with, in line with the imperative as articulated in your document.
I think they got it, but... Oh,
I think we have emphasized, through my colleagues, of course, that It's quite good that ICASA has taken those particular actions. But if they can further explain, because unless this, in my own opinion, is explained, it does not take us anywhere. Okay, I'm saying that urgently, they've got to actualize those criminal charges that they have identified. But the question is, who do they look at? I think if that can be emphasized. And I'm saying that because given the fact that that board that they talk about here, and all those responsible in reality do not exist, okay? And these are the people who took decisions and actualized those particular decisions. Now, given this whole thing, given the criminal charges that they are talking about, which we're praising them on, of course, my question is, what... will be they looking at? What is going to be the program of action, really? Yes, you have gone to court. Yes, you have done that. But then, who are you going to be looking at? If they can just explain that as well. Okay. It's SABC. SAB is a structure. But we're talking about the people. Okay. The criminals. Okay. Please clarify that.
Very interesting question, Honorable Madish. From my side, it has, because just two issues that I will need to be clarified on. Before your decision to go to Bramley Police Station, I understand you to be saying there are quite a number of interactions or letters that were sent to the SABC. And I'm interested in the last, when last did you interact with the SABC with regard to this particular matter before you decide to go the route of the police station to open a case. The last one is in relation to your time frames in terms of your responses, in terms of you resolving matters of this nature. Because we are talking about a complaint that was launched on the 26th of May 2016. Under normal circumstances, how long does it take to resolve a matter of this nature? Perhaps you might want to deal with that one as well, over and above the issues that have been raised. And if members have got follow-ups to make, they will then come, depending on the responses that you will have given. Over to you, Ikas.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I'll start with the question as the first one, that was how do we effectively execute our mandate in the public interest? I'll put it nicely, but the best way how we execute our mandate as a CASA and its seen is during an election year. Because during an election year, we hire more than 35 monitoring officers to monitor on a full-time basis. And that's only there during the period of the election period. And that's what we do. On any other period, when there's no election, what we do, we rely on reports and also complaints that we receive from members of the public, because we don't have capacity to hire the people that we hire during elections. So we rely on complaints. That's the second part. But the first part, what we do is any licensee, SABC, ETV, you name it, gives us their compliance report, and they tell us in line with the license terms and conditions as to what is it that they have done. So what we do, we take a sample of that, use it over a period of 6 weeks. We choose the 6 weeks ourselves, and then we check whether they have indeed complied during that period. Then we publish a compliance and say whether the person has been non-compliant or compliant. We do that on an annual basis. Some of the SABC radio stations have been on a compliance journey with us, and some of the commercial radio stations as well, that will be able to pick that one up. But it won't be at a large scale, the problem, as it would have been seen in this instance. The next issue is the issue that has been raised by Honorable Ngongobela again, the issue of that ICASA has the status of an ordinary citizen in so far as lodging complaints with the police and the likes. I just want to take the committee through the powers that the authority that has insofar as compliance, wherein a person is found to be non-compliant, what we do as authority in terms of the law. We may direct the licensee to desist from any further contravention. So it's like, please say, do not do that. So we call it a desist order. The law says we must do a desist order. The second instance is we direct the licensee to pay a fine with the amount that would have been prescribed by the authority in terms of license fees, or in some instances the order will come in the form of being a proposal, a recommendation from the CCC, wherein there has been such non-compliance or non-adherence. The third thing, we direct the licensee to take such remedial steps that are not in conflict with this Act or underlying statutes. So the remedial step is exactly the decisions that we've taken on the SABC, because there was no financial loss of anyone or anything of that nature. So we'll say, desist from doing this. These are the things that you need to do in order to remedy the behavior that you have done. So that is the remedial steps that we do, that we're empowered to do in the Act. Then there's the fourth thing that everyone keeps missing. It's the one that says where the licensee has repeatedly been found guilty of material violations. So the person has to have been found to be in violation of the Act so many times, not once, not twice, but it has to be material. And material has been discussed so many times in our court, in our court system, that the person has to really have contravened so many times in order for you then to come up with these actions that says you prohibit the licensee from providing the license service for a certain period of time, or as may be recommended by the CCC, or subject to the provision that the broadcasting service must not be suspended for a period exceeding 30 days. So if the person has been found to have done so many wrong things that are so material so many times, ICASA can say to that person, your license is suspended, but that suspension cannot be effective for more than 30 days. The trick with this provision, which I know a lot of people like outside, they don't understand the point of why communication exists. It is not in the best interest of anyone for ICASA to invoke this section, because any licensee is providing a service to end users. It's providing a service to audiences. Therefore, imagine if a licensee is not available on air for a period, even of a day. That is not an inconvenience to me and you, but it's an inconvenience to end users. So the person should have done something that is so bad in order for ICASA to invoke them. So in our world, we know that this provision actually is meant to protect consumers and to protect audiences, and that we should not go there without thinking. The person should have had repeated material violation. That is the crux. Or in that instance of repeated, the next part is amend or revoke this person's license, or direct the licensee to comply with any settlement. That is, if there were other parties involved, then we direct that licensee to comply with that settlement. So that is where the authority derives its powers insofar as ensuring that the person complies. For why we have to take matters to the Hawks, the Act says if somebody is found to have been not complying with the order of ICASA, it's Section 17, I read it out, that person must be criminally charged. And the only people that can charge a person criminally is the SAPS. So the first point of call is always the South African Police Services. We cannot take the law into our hands. So we have to go to the Hawks when somebody is failing to adhere to our order. I hope that is clear. And then Honorable Member Van Damme asked us to look into the issue of fake news proliferation. I'll take guidance from the committee in this regard, because Chair, I have no authority at this point to speak on that. So, but I think I've taken the note. That is the note that has been brought down.
Just hang on the very last one.
Fake, it says issues on fake news proliferation, that ICASA should conduct an inquiry. That was what was stated.
Okay.
I'm just saying we'll wait for guidance. We as the authority, safe to say, we don't regulate, which is the part, we don't regulate the content of the news. We regulate that news must be done in a fair and transparent manner. So I don't know if the committee will guide and say in how do they envisage this. And also, from what I understood, the question is more related to print media. And ICASA, as far as we don't deal with print,
that's why I'll wait for guidance. Honourable Khamza, I know you have been. Maybe let's allow it to finish. I'll still give you an opportunity to make follow-ups.
All right.
Immediately after the response.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, then the next question was on ETV decision to can or prime to change prime time news. That has not been a complaint, but just to say that it was an application by ETV wherein ETV was to amend certain aspects of its license, and that is still under consideration by the authority, and hearings were held last year in December, and the outcome will be coming in due course. But it wasn't a complaint. It was them doing an application before ICASA. Then the next question, I think it was related to the issue of by Honourable Member Ngubeni on proactive execution of our mandate. So I think I've touched on this, but Chair, I just want to relate two issues. Proactiveness when it comes to compliance only happens when you license a person for the first time. You don't, as a regulator, we don't go where there are no problems. So what we do compliance on a historic basis that a person, let's say in this instance, a person should have done a specific action or failed to have done a specific action in order for us to pick up that there was compliance or non-compliance. That as it may, what we do, because we recognize that we license different license categories of people, with insofar as community broadcasters, because they don't have resources, we do what we call a compliance education program. Wherein community broadcasters, on a periodic basis, we take them through what are the requirements of the legislation, what is it that they need to comply with, and how do they need to fill out the form. They were very proactive will do that. That's the first instance. And secondly, Chair, when it's an election year, ICASA, we put time aside in order to ensure that all licensees understand what are the requirements insofar as news programming during an election year. We go throughout all 9 provinces, including the SABC, in all their regional radio stations, and we'll do that because we do not want, because of election year is a very sensitive year, and I've been involved already in 2 elections at ICASA, and we'll do that, and we'll say, look, these are the statutes that you need to comply with, this is what you need to do moving forward, ensure that your presenters are aware of this, and the station managers are the people that we liaise directly with. So that's what we do, that's what I'm saying. With community broadcasters, it's on a periodic basis. With the bigger broadcasters such as the commercial and the SABC, we do it mostly, most instances, when it's an election year. And then we'll do the national drive. And then the next question that was asked was when was the last time did we interact with the SABC before we went to Bramley, with the time frames or responses resolving dispute. Can I give you the actual date, Chair, with your permission, on the last time we interacted with the SABC? I don't have it with me. I don't want to thumbsuck a date, and yet I don't have it, because compliance rests elsewhere in the organization. I don't want to say this is the date, if that is allowable with you. And then the next question was, what is the time frame of responses in resolving disputes? It's 90 days, Chair. So, Chair, in our program at ICASA, the dispute, the one that we came for today, that dispute it has been executed within 90 days. The issue is the issue of not being adhered to by the SABC, because with how the structure of the legislation is, you have to have a hearing, you have to come up with a finding, and then you communicate the decision of that finding, and then the follow-through then becomes a monitoring exercise. Then that is another discussion altogether, but we met the 90 days in this regard, Chair. And then, I don't know whether there's any other question that I've missed. Which one? I've done all of them. Okay, you'll guide me, Chair, if I've missed any question.
Welcome, Honorable New Dragon. As you are aware, we are dealing with the matter of ICASA and the SABC. Now we are engaging with the presentation. If you have a question or clarity, we'll give you an opportunity at some stage to come. You missed one? Okay.
Chair, there's a question I forgot by Honorable Mandisha as to who is being judged. This is judged. So in terms of our legislation, which is the Broadcasting Act, the first point of call, we license corporations, we license an entity. The entity is the SABC, right? So the SABC exists in law, exists in paper, and that's the person that, because it is a juristic person in our world. That, however, that person, I think that will be his next question, is represented by certain individuals. So we're not in the business of naming people. So what we do is say the chairperson of the board, in the alternative, the CEO of the organization, in the alternative. So there will be alternatives, but the institution still resides. It will be that institution. I can make a number of examples, Chair. It will be the same.
Let's proceed. Let's start with Honorable Fandami, then Honorable Mubele will follow.
Thanks, Chair. I think my question was, or my suggestion rather, was misunderstood. So this is what I was talking about ICASA having teeth. ICASA does not have to wait for issues to be brought to it. It can proactively investigate, and we need to see more of that. I don't think ICASA must be waiting. ICASA is empowered in terms of Section 4 of the ICASA Act to conduct inquiries. It is not required that they take direction from Parliament or wait for a matter to be brought to them. They're empowered in terms of this section to look at any sector related to the area that they regulate, which is broadcast media. So I didn't refer to print. I said you can't look at print because it doesn't fall under your purview, but broadcast media. So what I'm requesting is that ICASA conduct an investigation into all their licensees about the issue of fake news. So information that is patently false, propaganda campaigns that are presented as objective news. So that's the issue that I think ICASA should investigate. I mean, we can talk about what the terms of reference need to be, and we can contribute as a committee to that. But ICASA does not need to wait for us to do that. They need to show more teeth. They need to be more proactive in making sure that they regulate the sector that they're constitutionally required to regulate.
I think there's an issue that you raised. Is that in this instance, from what they were saying, is that in this instance there were complaints. But I understood them to be saying they, in other instances, proactively deal with matters of this nature. Is that in this instance we're talking about complaints? The SOC, your freedom of expression, all these other complaints. I thought she tied this issue earlier.
Yes, on a lighter note, which may not be light, at the risk of agreeing with DA. You see,
agreeing with Honorable Fandan.
Oh, no, thank you, not okay. DA. You know, to the CEO and Mrs. Nombres, something that I find stressful. I listen to a view that says we deal with issues on historic basis. That's a commitment to a reactive ICASA. That's a commitment to a reactive ICASA. But if you lead, you look at the provisions that they have summarized in the presentation, forget anything else. They say a matter must be material, be repeated. Correctly so, they don't want to break the law. Otherwise, we cannot have a regulator that breaks the law. The regulator must protect the law. We're not asking them. I'm saying the point of call where I start here is this positive articulation of being responsible to deal. If I misunderstood, she'll correct that. We deal with matters on a historic basis. That's a reactive operation. Now, the law is clear. When the law gives you a mandate, it asks you to deal with particular imperatives. Those particular imperatives naturally will have proactive elements in themselves. If you go, for instance, to the Electronic Communications Act 2005, to subsection 1, Roman figure 2, as articulated by themselves, at least a few issues there. It's actuality programs on matters of public interest. I want to underline the word public interest. Programs on political matters, public interest. Programs on matters of international, national, and regional, public interest. Now, if I'm listening, and I'm just going to be a bit, because I think this engagement is going to be very important. I'm just going to come across as being crude and difficult so that ICASA can assist. If ICASA has this responsibility that's provided for you, it means ICASA knows the public interest. That's the first point. If they know the public interest, even before they started doing their work, naturally, logic requires that they would have done an audit to assess where are we in as far as that public interest is concerned. Now, if they have done that audit, then they are able to say to SABC, it's not about charging SABC, to say, before we act on you, this is our analysis of your work. Going forward, can you correct ABC? To me, that is a proactive ICASA. Because you would have understood, we cannot ask you to act to regulate in the interest of public interest when you don't know what that public interest is. Two, when you cannot articulate in what state are we executing in that public interest as we speak. Now, to me, that element does not find protection if you say you act on historic, what you call, on historic basis. It means you are in a casa that sits and waits for problems. And I thought this is a progressive constitution, and it's loose. And actually, South African law is intended to be progressive in nature. It is meant to be proactive, to prevent problems, to spend a lot of time preventing problems from happening than dealing with a mess of problems when you come across them. And I was a bit worried. They must also explain if I misunderstood them. When they responded to the issue of fake news, if I understood correctly, I must be correct. I said, I don't deal with the content. If the committee can guide. But now, if you look at this Broadcasting Act 1999 charter, which is brought by them in their presentation, it says the charter sets out and requires that the SABC programming content, says programming content, reflect SA attitudes and so on. That's a programming content. Advance the national and public interest. This is a all these elements are elements of the programming content. Now it means If the CASA say this guides their regulation of FABC, it means this act has is another guideline on how they do their work. So programming content with all those elements surely requires them again to have analyzed how they have performed in as far as that. Now, if fake news are in the content, and this charter requires that they do this, and are they going to say when they, in the scientific analysis, discover that there's fake news, will they ignore that? Now, all I'm saying, all this emanates from the big problem of proactive responsibility. When it was on the responsibility proactive, naturally, it is going to give you particular obligations up front. And it also dictates, it's going to dictate a vision to you. It's going to dictate a mission. And I'm told that the type of an organization called the CASA can't have a vision, it can't have a mission. It will respond to what SABC does. I'm using it as an example. So all I'm saying is that, lastly, they say, for instance, things must be material. Let's look at the SABC pronouncement. If I listen carefully, to ICASA, that's not material. Or if material, the degree of materiality is very low. Remember, that pronouncement is a pronouncement that is targeting the founding principles of the democracy of this country. That pronouncement. If you look at it and analyze it with seriousness, it's a serious pronouncement in as far as the founding principles of our democracy are concerned. To the extent that they acted on those journalist pronouncements and acting on the journalists in the manner they did, those are the founding principles of our democracy. And materiality to ICASA, I don't know what does it mean. So all what I'm saying is that if, these are my last points, that there are presentations that have been done to the portfolio committee by various stakeholders about how SABC is actually executing the mandate. And maybe we may converse with ICASA today, but the sooner we go back to deal with those, so to come back to ICASA and say, where are we with each other in as far as these things are concerned? Because where I'm sitting at face value, there's a lot that is sorted out with SABC. Proactive. ICASA says no, historic.
Maybe you might as well deal with just that your slides are not numbered. There is that complaint against the SABC on the decision to cancel Roadhouse production. The last one. Where's the Appendix A. The very last one. And I'm interested in knowing. I think it's linked earlier to the time frame that I spoke about. And I'm looking at you, the outcome there, which says the complaints committee is yet to set a date to hear the matter. How long is the complaint? If you can as well deal with that particular one, because I was going through it. I can't see exactly. When was that complaint launched?
Page. I keep on forgetting. Thank you. On the last page, ICASA has the amounts, the fines, etc., that have been or not been paid by various parties. I think it's very clear. All know that all parties are here because of elections, right? Now, one realizes there that there are some parties that have not paid, but then there are parties that have paid. But then what I want to check is ICASA will find a particular party, 5,000 rand, and then there you have 35,000 rand, there you have 50,000 rand, etc. So what I want to check is, number one, how do they determine that? I just want to be clear. And number two, apart from the determination, who sits in the committee that says, you are guilty, you are not guilty, you must pay so much, etc., etc.? And then what do they further do to make sure that if party 10 has not paid, right, what is it that they do? Because I realize that there are some of the areas where, in my own opinion, nothing has been done. So who sits there and who determines the fines? Just please clear that.
You want then names of the people who sit, or are you talking institutions or structures?
Let's hear what they say. And then obviously when the committee sits, I suppose we'll be able to take the matter forward. But then let's hear what they are doing, the determination of fines, and the persons who sit to punish or not punish.
Thank you, Chair. I promise I won't be fast so that I'm not misunderstood.
Can be more complicated?
No. I just want to Chair, not Chair. I want to explain the issue of proactively versus the historic. Proactively, Chair, because remember we're dealing with a complaint today that has been lodged against the SABC. A complaint can only be of historic nature. That is the first point. So a conduct, I cannot arrest a person up until they have done something wrong. That's what a complaint is. No one could have foreseen that on that day of May 2016, SABC was going to make that statement. So a complaint, we have to rely on what happened historically, and then deal with it on such basis. That's one. Secondly, Chair, on the issue of compliance, when I spoke about historic, each licensee has a financial year end with ICASA, and they have programs, those that have listed, drama, actuality, all those things, we measure them against all those things that are listed. They submit to us on an annual basis, and then as ICASA, we, for instance, on radio, we do weekly checks on radio or on TV, we do annual checks. So we have to check as against the license terms and conditions, whether they have fulfilled what they said that our licensors are saying they were supposed to have fulfilled, and then we take against those. Then we take a six-week period randomly throughout the year, and then we listen to those recordings as to whether indeed they are consistent with what is reported, and then we issue a compliance or non-compliance or notice on aspects of their license terms and conditions. That's what we do. Then on a proactive basis, Chair, I made the example in two instances. We have the most famous example that I like to make is the example of South African local content quotas. ICASA is enjoined in legislation to set out the South African local content quotas for both radio and TV. We do those ones proactively. We go on a drive wherein we interview various stakeholders so that we know, we check what is happening in the market as things stand, what audiences like, what are their preferred taste, and things like that. So we do that. The second instance, Che, is the compliance program that we have insofar as community broadcasters. This is a proactive thing that we do on a periodic basis, that community broadcasters, we want them to ensure that they are compliant. Then lastly, Che, we do on every year preceding an election year. We go out, we tell people what is it that they're expected to do in the law. Because compliance, Che, is you don't enforce what people do not know. So you want people to know. So those are the three instances that I am pointing out insofar as broadcasting. Che, I want to go then to the next question, the question of fake news at the Inquiry. I take the point by Honorable Van Damme on the Section 4 of the ICASA Act. We are required to do an inquiry, but those inquiries must be found within the law. I still don't understand. That's why I said I seek the guidance of the committee as to what is fake news. And yet, Chair, I think also the issue of when I said we don't regulate news. Chair, news we do not regulate. News, there is what is called journalistic independence. It has to be fair. When you read the ICASA Act, when you read the Broadcasting Act, it sets out how news are supposed to be. Up until a news program is found to have been misleading, to have been to contain inaccuracies, then even in those instances, that will be the preview within the BCSA. But Chair, all I'm saying is news in itself. That's why maybe I'm really missing the point on fake news. And the next caveat that was put by Honorable Ngungubele was on the programming. When we talk about programming as couched in the Broadcasting Act, the programming talks about drama, it talks about language, broadcasting programming content, wherein if a broadcaster says, I am going to have a drama program that will have English, this is Zulu, Shivenda, Shangan, and this instance. It kind of goes and looks as to whether that language is appropriate, is it reflecting the audiences that it is intended for. But we do not dictate, Che, as to how and what the programming should look like. But we say, this is what you, because you said this is the drama, these are the languages that you are supposed to have. If they have those things, we look at that. But Che, news, maybe Che, because I didn't prepare adequately for the fake news, but maybe I don't understand it. That's why I'm saying maybe I don't understand it. If somebody puts it and couches and says, Ikata, here is a problem statement, there are fake news that are being presented by ETV, SABC, the people that we regulate, and this is the problem statement. ICASA is going to go back and look at the problem statement and will conduct an inquiry, but it just talks about fake news. So I that's why I'm saying maybe for me it's something I'm failing to understand.
No, I think she's agreeing that she'll then be able to clarify it with you.
Okay.
She'll write straight to you so that exactly you know exactly
right. What
is it that she meant
all
by
right. Thanks, Che. Then Che.
Okay.
I think my proposal, Che, is that it's based again on the latest response. Because there could be an engagement which is problematic because of the senselessness of the law. Because of the senselessness of the law. Or the law being sensible, but ourselves understanding it differently. But usually such matters are not easily resolved on pure arguments. But when we deal with concrete objects in front of ourselves, I think it is critical that in the next session, ICASA presents to us their regulatory plan. and probably you expect there in that plan controls of execution of that plan. Maybe in engaging with them around that, we may find one another. But I'm saying, if, for instance, the Broadcasting Act says, it says positive, that programming content which reflects South African attitudes. The issue with law is that there is a point where there will be a debate about what is a South African attitude. Once you put it in law, naturally, at some point, there might be a dispute about that. What shall ICASA say that is? Right? At some point, our opinions, ideas, advances national public interest, promotes the rights of all South Africans, those things that are articulated there, at some point, law presupposes they could be, they are put in that fashion deliberately so that if there's a dispute around them, those who are adjudicating should clarify that dispute. Now, if that is the case, there must be a way in which ICASA says, generally, our understanding of South African attitude, not specific news, in principle it means this. Our understanding of public interest, generally, it would mean that. Because those things will be, we will have to be adjudicated at some point in time. So all I'm saying is that's why you'll hear me crying for proactive. And I'm saying, they must also understand that. The fact that they present a specific SABC, a presentation specific on SABC conduct, does not confine the committee to only ask questions about that. We use that to ask other questions. That's why upfront I said, maybe to dwell on this might not assist. The more I listen to these other questions now are raised. So I'm making a proposal that we have this presentation from them, and I hope as a committee at some stage would have interacted with a number of presentations that society is actually aggrieved upon, so that we can find one. And of course, ours is to help, is to work with the CASA so that the CASA can execute their mandate and execute it effectively. Because lastly, there's a question you raise yourself, Chair. Toothlessness can be scientifically proved. It can also be societally perceived. If, for instance, a particular complaint takes a year or 5 years before it's resolved, in the eyes of the public, ICASA looks toothless. Simple as that. So you may be legally toothful if there's such a language. But in the eyes of society, you look toothless. Because if the SIPC matter goes war hawks until 2019, the public will say, you guys are toothless. Do we want any ICASA that appears to be toothless in the eyes of society? So those are some of the things that, some are soft issues which I think we need to engage on. ICASA will teach us a lot that we don't understand. I accept that there might be things we don't understand, which in the process of engagement they will help us understand. But I speak from my little understanding at this point in time.
Comments from Honorable Ngobel will then assist you in terms of you going forward as to deal with some of these issues on daily basis. I'm about to summarize in terms of the way forward, and I want to assume that all the members have asked the questions for clarity. ICASA has given response in terms of the issues that they've raised. It is also as well the responsibility of ICASA to take into consideration all the issues that have been raised so that you will then be able to improve in the work that you are doing. But I want to appreciate really the presentation that we have been given today in relation to this particular case, which is of public interest. Honorable Madisha, which is of public interest.
We will, as the portfolio committee, follow the case with keen interest in terms of how this matter is being handled. And as and when the matter is now moving towards the finality, we'll as well appreciate this final briefing in whatever developments will be going with regard to this particular issue. Honorable Madish, you seem to be protesting silently so.
I respect you a lot. I've said it'll be 8 years. I agree with what the honorable, my honorable Gungubel is saying. They need to indicate, okay, who sits and assesses. Yes, all this.
No,
all
mean right? That one.
Why a particular party, for example, would be charged 5,000 rand, another one 50,000 rand, etc., etc. If that could be explained, then I'd be fine, and I'll support you as you go on to summarize.
Okay.
But then let me get
let's deal with those two issues, because before we sum up.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Magdisha. Chair, I just want to preface my comment as a start, my response, by saying CASA does not regulate political parties. We regulate broadcasters. So the fines that are in Appendix A are against the SABC radio stations, such as your Sonra Khrense, Metro FM, Kuala Kuala, Good Hope, and only Good Hope, you would note, was not found to be non-compliant. And in all the instances, SABC has paid the fine that was applicable. So that's the first thing. Then as to who sits, I assume the question is to who sits and adjudicates. The person who sits and adjudicates is actually provided for in terms of the ICASA Act, that Section 17, capital letter A, that the authority is required to establish a complaints and compliance committee, which needs to have not more than 7 members appointed for a 3-year term of office, which is renewable for 1 additional term only, and one of whom must be a councillor. So the chairperson of the CCC must be a judge of the High Court, or whether in active service or not, an advocate or attorney with at least 10 years appropriate experience, or a magistrate with at least 10 years appropriate experience, whether in active service or not. So we have a former advocate and was acting judge, Professor Van Rooyen, who's the chairperson of the CCC. And amongst the 7 members, we have various people from technical skills, from the broadcasting sector, economist, accountant, from various fields. But we have that committee that sits there. So they would sit and make a recommendation in terms of Section 17, and that recommendation, ICASA has to consider it. And when ICASA considers the matter, the Act actually directs how ICASA should do it. It actually says of Section 17E that when making a decision contemplated in Section 17D, which are the findings of the CCC, the authority must take all relevant matters into account, including the recommendations of the CCC, the nature and the gravity of the non-compliance, the consequences of non-compliance, the circumstances under which the non-compliance occurred, and then the steps taken by the licensee to remedy the complaint, and the steps taken by the licensee to ensure that similar complaints will not be lodged in future. So ICASA, in making the final decision, it takes these matters into account. Then lastly, Chair, I just want to go back to the issue of material, so that, because I think, I don't want us to be misunderstood, because Section 17E, decisions by the authority, subsection 2, it, and then you go to says the CCC may recommend that one or more of the following orders issued by the authority. I read them, all of them out. The one that has material violation says, where the licensee has repeatedly been found guilty of material violation, the committee chair will note that it was the first time the SABC appeared on this matter before the CCC last year. So the excess, the licensee has been found. So there was no finding before. Whether they've been found guilty of material violation. So there was no repeated at that point, Chair. That is why I'm saying the most ethical, we know this happens to us at every election year, be it national, be it local government, that there will be these types of complaints, Chair. I hope that is in order. Then, Chair, you asked the question about the Crows complaint. That complaint, Chair, was lodged on December 8, 2016. And there was exchange of papers between SABC and the complainant's chair. So the CCC is, as I said, is yet to set a date for hearing the matter, Chair. I thank you.
Thanks very much, Casa, for all the responses. I think as part of the way forward, I think it goes to the issue that came up very, very sharply, proactiveness of ICASA in the work that you do. That as much as you set terms and conditions to the licensees, it must also be the responsibility of ICASA from time to time to check if people do comply to the terms and references. Because my take is that when you decide to go the route of opening a criminal case, it should be on the basis that you have tried a number of other options to make sure that this matter is resolved without going to court. Because if we go to court from time to time in terms of the work that we are doing, surely there's something wrong. Earlier, and I'd wanted to know, just in the last 2 years, how many cases have led to you going the route of the court, but I decided to reserve that one. But all I'm saying is that it should be the responsibility of ICASA from time to time to check on the compliance of the licensees in terms of the terms and conditions without necessarily waiting for the complaints. I think that's what members were saying, that even if there are no complaints, ICASA should then be able to say, we've been following your activities. We think there is a problem here. I think that's what we're saying. But having said that, I think we need to appreciate the presentation. We will, as the portfolio committee, follow this particular matter with keen interest because it is of public interest and make sure that we know so that we are then able to conduct our oversight role as the portfolio committee. And we want to thank you really for the presentation and the responses that we received today. Members, I want to raise ICASA now so that we are then able to remain and deal with the last two items that concerns us. Thank you very much, ICASA, until we meet next time. Thanks. Maybe is there any need of a comfort break? I don't know. Maybe let's do that. And I would expect all of you to come back, including Honorable Kongowel. I knew when he suggested the comfort break that it might be difficult for him to come back. we are supposed to be dealing with the minutes and also the adoption of the just the minutes. I'm advised just the minutes.
can we then look at the minutes of the 24th? Just last week, isn't it? The 24th, the meeting that took place last week, page 1, just the attendance by committee members, and the apologies. I apologize through the whip of the committee, and my name is not reflected. Can it be corrected, Secretary? Page 2, just the SABC board interim and a continuation of the attendance there. Is it in order? The last one, MDDA board and the first term draft committee program, that is, and the minutes were of the 1st of November, 16th of November, the meeting adjourned at 22:11. Is this a true reflection of what transpired on the 24th of January? Can I get an indication? Okay. Thanks very much. I think that concludes the... Can I get a proposal? There is Honorable Newt Drunken has suggested that we adopt the minutes, and Honorable Machova has seconded. Thanks very much, Honorable... Oh, Honorable Gumbel has just come back now. I was saying earlier on that was the reason why you suggested a comfort break, so that you can come back when we conclude. Oh, I see. Thanks very much, Honorable Members. I think that concludes the business of the day until we meet next week. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.